Sunday was a bright day yesterday, but she's gone today. Dark cloud has come into the way. He's taken her away. Why did she leave me? Why did she have to go? Didn't I tell her how much I loved her so?
There's a great track from 1969. That is The Moments with Sunday. And on the line, live from North Carolina, I've got Billy Brown, former member of The Moments, and of course, Ray Goodman and Brown. Billy, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because we've got asked you to choose four tracks, and it's such a difficult job to try and. Try and cut down your back catalogue just to four, isn't it? You've produced some great stuff and continue to produce some new material. But we'll talk about that later. Yeah. How did you come to join The Moments?
Well, I was with a group called The Broadways, and we were doing a show over in New York. And Larry Roberts, who was a writer and producer for All Platinum Records, he saw the group and he came up to me and he says, "Man," he says, "you guys are real good." He says, "you signed with anyone?" I told him, I said, "No, we were with MGM Records and they let us go." I said, "Well, look, you remember Sylvia Robinson?" I said, "No, I'm not familiar with her." He said, "Vicky and Sylvia?" I said, "Yeah, oh yeah." I said, "Love is Strange." He said, "Yeah, well, Sylvia and her husband, Joe Robinson, they have a studio over in New Jersey, and I'd like to have you once guys come over and talk." I said, "Oh, okay." So we went back home And so we called up there, and Larry had given me his card and everything, called up there, and they asked us to come up. And so we went up, we talked with Joe and Sylvia, and we sang, and they had this song, Not on the Outside.
Oh, yeah.
So, which was actually written for me, but at that time, we lived so far, it was quite a commute from Asbury Park all the way up to Englewood. And back then, I didn't have a car and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But the commute was so rough to get up, to get over to Englewood. You had to go into New York, and then from New York, go into Englewood. And so we just, you know, things just didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
And then my sister and I, we were sharing a house. And this particular time I was in the bathroom, I was taking a bath and the radio was on, and the radio station, they were saying, and the number 25 record, mm-hmm. the Moments, not on the other side. I heard that and I jumped up, I said, these guys, you know, I got automatically angry. I said, these guys messed up my chance to record this song, and blah, 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 blah. You know, and I was really upset. And if things are for you, it's for you, you know, fate, how fate is. I was working for Ford Motor Company at that time.
All right.
And I had left, had got off work early that night. I went to this club that we would frequent, a club called Big Bill's. And when I walked in there, the bartender was a good friend of mine, a guy named Richard Hatchett. And he called me over and said, Billy, come here. So I went over and he said, look, this guy came and he was looking for you. And he showed me a card. It was called Larry Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I said, oh, he probably wants me to do, you know, something like that to record for him. So he says, okay. So he says, he told me to tell you to wait here. I said, okay. So I went in. I didn't stay there. I went to another club in a little town not too far from me. And when I got back to the club, he said, he just left. He said, he's coming right back. I said, okay. So I went back there, and I'm standing there, my girlfriend, and we were dancing. He walked in the door as I'm dancing. So he said, he walked up to the little stage where it was, and Joe and Sylvia Robinson sent me down looking for you. I said, yeah. So we drove up there, and so I went back, and Joe Robinson, he said, you got a good job. I said, yeah. You know, I thought back then, I told him, yeah, I'm pulling in, you know, I'm bringing home at least $500 a week.
Wow.
You know, back then, that was a great
money. That was a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so he says, we want you to be the new lead singer for the Moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what? He said, yeah. Because, you know, they had a strict policy that if you got caught with any kind of drugs or anything like that, you were out.
Yeah.
No reprieve, you're gone, you know. And from what I understand, that's what happened. So he went in his pocket and pulled out a roll of $100 bills. And he says, and gave me a couple, you know, gave me like, I think it was $300, $400 right then. He says, you know, you got to get ready. You guys got to, you know, you have to, you know, you got to rehearse, start rehearsing. He said, because you guys got to, you got a show this Friday.
Crikey.
I said, this Friday? Yeah, this was on a Tuesday. And he says, you guys got a show Friday. So he used myself. He used one of the guys that was with the Moment at that time. A guy, it's been so long, I can't even think of him. John Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
John Morgan was his name. And Al Goodman. And he was working in the studio, you know, because it was still building over there. And he was working over there and, you know, like doing some of the janitorial duties. And he was also playing, recording with Sylvia, doing the Mickey part of Mickey and Sylvia.
Right, I see.
And yeah, and they put the three of us together, and we rehearsed and rehearsed. And, oh gosh, I mean, like.
I mean, yeah. Stang and All Platinum, they were such a vibrant label. It was pretty much a game changer, wasn't it, in New Jersey? I mean, what was it like working with people like Leslie Valentine and Linda Jones and the Whatnauts? Did you see much of the other artists?
Leslie Valentine, she was, as a matter of fact, she was the secretary for All Platinum.
Wow.
At that time, and Stang. And she recorded, as a matter of fact, she recorded Love on a Two-Way Street first.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she recorded it first, and it didn't do anything at all. And I heard the song. I was up there one day, and when I was, you know, just listening to some of the music that they had recorded, and I heard the song, and I said, "Boy," I said, "I really like that." And so Joe just said, "Billy, you like the song?" So I said, yeah. He says, man, this song ain't nothing, you know. He says, we recorded on Leslie, and, you know, as soon as we released it, the return started coming through the door. I said, oh, my goodness. So he came up to me and he stood in the room and he said, Billy, since you like this song so much, he took a 45 and he flipped it to me and he says, hey, you like it so much, he said, you learn it and go back there and record it. I said, okay, fine. So I took the record and I learned the song, went back in the studio. It was either that day or the next day, and I recorded it.
Great track.
And we put it on the initial album, not on the outside but inside.
Uh-huh.
The album. And every TV show that we would do, everybody they would say, why don't you release this song as a single, you know? And we'd get letters. We would get bags full of letters. Mm-hmm. And saying, this is such a great song. So why don't you release it as a single? And I told Joe, and he told us, he said, look, so you guys are doing this show tonight called Soul.
Uh-huh.
When you go on there, he says, when they interview you, Billy, he said, just blurt out and just tell them that this is your new single. You're going to do this, and this is your new single. The song hadn't been released at that time. And so when I got on there and they gave me the mic, I said, well, this is our new single. We like to do our new single, Love on a Two-Way Street, you know? And so we did it on the show. And then the next morning, they had the orders came in for that song. I think it was 50,000.
Yeah, it went really well for you, didn't it? It was a big,
yes,
big record. Pretty much, it's what helped to launch the Moments as a real force in American music. Right, let's have a listen to that.
True love will never die.
There's Love on a Two-Way Street then. That's the album release from 1969 on Not on the Outside. The single came out a year later. I'm talking to Billy Brown of The Moments, lead singer. And Billy, thanks for joining us. That song went really big and you were working very, very hard as lead vocalist. That must have been so intense. So much it so was. That you ended up being ill for a while through vocal burnout.
Yes, I did. I had vocal burnout. Not only from singing, but I had never going all these different places and partying and that kind of stuff. Of course, living the nightlife and that kind of thing, and that's what happened. I got burned out. My voice finally came back when we were doing a show up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that night, all the notes that I was hitting before, they had come back that night.
That must have been a big relief.
I was elated. I'm telling you, I couldn't get control of myself. I was so happy.
Great. But of course, you heeded the warning, because from then on, you decided to share lead vocals with Harry Ray, didn't you?
Yes. Well,
just give you a bit of a rest.
Right, exactly.
While you were with Stang, you had 27 hits. That's a great achievement, isn't it? Because really, that's in less than 10 years. And then in 1979, you were tempted away by Polydor.
Right. Well, what had happened was that Joe and Sylvia Robinson weren't the most
yes, all right,
standing,
I understand,
and since Al was head of A&R, we were doing a tour in England, and if you're at a position at the company, you were able to see the books.
All right.
Because we were telling them that we hadn't received any royalties from them or anything, and so they said, "Well, Tony Powell had told Al, he said, look, I don't know why you guys haven't gotten money, except because we, they gave
the money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
We gave them a lot of money, and there was, some of them were supposed to go to you guys, and then they were supposed to do things,
splits, yeah.
Right, exactly. And so Tony said, well, Al, since you're head of A&R, you can see the books. And come to find out that they had gotten something like $5 million.
Wow. Goodness me. So obviously you had a difference of opinion and parted company.
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly.
You say you went to Polydor, but of course, Stang or Platinum wouldn't allow you to keep the group name, would they?
Right. They had a trademark on the name, and that's how it's, that's what we were so concerned with. What happened, a guy named Lonnie Youngblood, meanwhile, how we changed our name, he told us, you guys, man, when you're on stage, people know you by your names, Harry, you always on, Harry, Al, Billy, So we were saying, what are we supposed to do? We name Harry, Al, and Billy? So he said, no, man, use your last name. And just Ray Goodman and Brown, just seemed to flow.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, Ray Goodman and Brown. And great. Everybody said, boy, you guys sound like a laugh at.
Right. Well, let's have a listen to Special Lady then, taken from 1979 eponymous LP, Ray Goodman and Brown.
You must be a special lady.
You'll be singing first and second.
No, Harry, I'm singing second, man.
And a very exciting girl.
I'll bring that bass out, man.
Hey, man, I'll bring it out a little bit more.
You gotta be a special lady.
Let's get down on some harmony, come on.
Cause you got me sitting on top of the world. Sitting on top of the world.
Somehow I knew it would be you. Change my gray skies to blue.
strange when you call my name. Ever since that day, I haven't been the same. Ooh, before I met you, my sun didn't want to shine. But all of a sudden, we snuck up from behind.
I'm straight, man. You know, I've been singing this for a long time.
All right, I guess we better.
Well, come on, let's sing
it,
man.
Let's go.
Sometimes
love to you.
Put a little pretty ten in there, man. Go ahead.
Because I love you so much. Woo! Seems like I just can't get close enough to you.
I love this, boy. I
swear
I like
this. Because I love you so much. Seems like I just can't get close enough to you.
So, great track, Inside of You, taken from Ray Goodman and Brown. First release. That was the first of... How many albums did you do as Ray Goodman and Brown?
7 or 8.
Yeah.
7 or 8.
So how was life at Polydor? How was it different to Stang? Polydor's a much larger organization. Did they treat you better?
Much larger. Yeah, they treated us better. They treated us much better. At least we got paid. The first time we ever saw a royalty. You know, it's a shame to have to say that, but the truth is what it is.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And that's the first time that we had, the first time we ever saw a royalty statement or a royalty check was with Polydor.
Wow. You recorded with Polydor from 79 through to, 82, and then moved on to Panoramic.
Right, Panoramic, yeah, which was our own venture.
Oh, right, your own label?
Yeah, that was our label.
So, I think your last recording was 92? Oh, no, 2003. So, has the group been going as Ray Goodman and Brown since 1979? Did you have any time off? Are you still recording?
Yes, we still are. I mean, we're still recording Ray Goodman and Brown.
Right. Because you've got a single that's coming out under your own name, isn't it? They Say You're No Good.
Right, exactly.
That's a great piece of work.
Oh,
that's certainly got legs, I'm sure.
Yeah, George Crowe came to me and he asked me, he says, Billy, you're Ray Goodman and Brown. You know, he says, well, we got you, just another group, you know. He says, I want you to, you know, he says, would you do me the honor of recording this for me? I said, sure, you know. Been friends for years.
Yeah, well, George Kerr's a nice bloke. I met him a year before last, I think, and we've chatted quite frequently ever since. A lovely fella.
Yes, he is.
So this new single that's due to come out today, have you got anything else behind it? Is there an album on the horizon, do you think?
I'm sure we're working on. We're putting everything together. We're putting everything together as we speak.
Great stuff. Exciting times.
I've been so blessed, you know. I've had 2016. I had a stroke as well.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
And how's that going? Did you manage to make a decent recovery?
Oh yeah.
Oh, well done.
You know, I'm a God-fearing man. I trust, and anything I do, I trust God, and I put God first in my life. And I truly believe that without Him, I don't think I would have recovered the way that I have.
Right, Billy, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and it's been really interesting talking to you. You've had a wonderful, colourful life, and there's still so much more of it to come, especially turning out stuff like this. Today's single release, They Say You're No Good.
They say you're no good for all the things you've done. And I say to them, for me, that you're the only one. You shouldn't throw stones, or you'll end up living all alone.
You passed us by yourself, looking out. Ain't nobody perfect, baby, and there ain't no doubt.
Oh no, you're just right for me. And I'm exactly where I wanna be.
Let me see you, baby, with all your clothes and all.
When I first looked at you, love is all I saw.
You see, you're so perfect.
Well, will always be your man. Please always be my girl. You gotta understand that when you're in love,
when you're in love, baby, love is all you're thinking of. Hey, baby, it's all you're thinking of, yeah, because you're in love.
I feel like a blessed man, and I'll do all.
Making great music. There's Billy Brown and his brand new release, They Say You're No Good. That's available from georgekerrmusic.com. georgekerrmusic.com. Get yours while they're still there, because they're not going to hang around for long. Okay, next track from the featured LP tonight. This is Iramus Hall and Feeling Higher.